Right, turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua this morning. Book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter 7. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. Okay, in the book of Joshua, the Israelites have come into the promised land. One of the bastions of defense in that land was the city of Jericho. It was a city that the Israelites needed to conquer. Okay? And you know the story. The Israelites marching around the city. One day, or once around the city for 6 days, and on the seventh day, marching around the city seven times, blowing the trumpets, the walls crashing down, and the Israelites going in and taking the city of Jericho. You know the story. And in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, it says there, look at verse 17. Look at verse 24. I'll get it right soon. And Joshua and all Israel. That's not right. Look at verse 24. Verse 17. Joshua chapter 7, verse 17. No, I'm in Joshua chapter 6. I'm sorry. Joshua chapter 6. No wonder nothing was coming right. Look at verse 21. Here we go. We're back on track. Now, I've been away for a few weeks, folks, so, you know. Look at verse 21. Joshua 6, 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, ass and ass, with the edge of the sword. Verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire. And all that was therein, only the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And God placed a curse on this city. Verse 17. Joshua 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. So only Rahab would be spared in this city of Jericho. And the Israelites were not to touch anything in the city. Look at verse 18. Joshua 6, verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Verse 19. All the silver and the gold. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. All right. Now, I was preaching through the book of Joshua, and some of you will remember the events that have taken place. All right. And if you go with me to Joshua chapter 7 now. They come to a place, they've come to Jericho, now they come to a place called Ai. Not such a significant place as Jericho. And Joshua says to his men, oh, we'll go down and take Ai. We'll probably only need about 2,000 or 3,000 fellas to go down there. Shouldn't be too much of a problem, and we'll take that city just like we've taken Jericho. Okay? But verses 4 and 5 of Joshua chapter 7. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even under Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now, here's God. God promised to Joshua in chapter 1, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. You have taken over from Moses. You are going to go into the promised land. You're going to capture the cities of the promised land. You're going to defeat the people. And as I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Well, wait a minute. It doesn't seem like God is with them here. Joshua sent in 2,000 or 3,000 fellows for the Israelites into this city of Ai to take the city, and the men have run away with their tails between their legs, and 36 of those men have been killed. Okay? And so, there's been a problem. A big problem. And you find out about that verses 22 to 26 of Joshua chapter 7. They come across a man. And in verse 18 or verse 17, Joshua has fallen on his face. Lord, what have we done? What's gone wrong here? Something is wrong. And so the Lord reveals to Joshua in verse 16, Joshua 7 verse 16, Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought, there was a process of elimination here, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, tribe of Judah was taken. And so we see here, through process of elimination, this man Achan has been brought before Joshua and all of Israel. And verses, the next few verses, it is revealed to Joshua and all of Israel what has taken place. This man has taken of some of the spoil that God said you're not to touch. It's to go into the treasury of the Lord. You're not to touch it. And this man Achan looked and he saw a wedge of gold and some silver and a Babylonian-ish garment. And he coveted after them and he looked at them and he saw them and he thought, well, we've been in the wilderness all this time and now we're in the promised land and I've never really had anything and now I've got an opportunity to have something for myself. And he coveted after them and he took them and he buried them in the ground in his tent. And all this, there was sin in the camp. Deceitfulness and sin in the camp. And it had to be found out, and it had to be dealt with. And so, verses 22 to 26 of Joshua chapter 7, the man is found out. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them under Joshua and all the children of Israel and laid them before the Lord, the things the man had taken. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, his oxen, his ass, and his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? You knew that nobody was to take of the spoils of the city of Jericho. And you have troubled us, and we're going to trouble you now. And they put them down in some sort of surrounded them. Generally, when there was a stoning going on in the Bible, a person was put into a sort of a type of a shallow pit, and everybody just threw stones at them, big rocks, not little pebbles, but half bricks, coming from all angles, nowhere you could hide. and you would be killed, stoned to death, and then they burnt them. This man, his whole family, all his animals, his tent, everything. Okay? And the sin in the camp had to be dealt with, and dealt with very swiftly. And it was. And then in chapter 8, Joshua chapter 8, notice with me, in the Lord, verse 1, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed, take all the people of war with thee, arise and go to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and the city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and to her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. If the man had have waited, if he had been patient, he had done things right, he would have got something. And I want you to notice verse 3. Just the phrases, so Joshua arose. That's what caught my attention. So Joshua arose. You know, I thought to myself, Joshua could have said to himself, come on, Lord. We've been defeated. 36 of our men have been killed. You know, we've messed up, we've mucked up, and we've been defeated. What's the good of trying again? He could have said. You know, and I thought about this. I thought sometimes many Christian people can be like this. Fallen in their Christian life, struggling, fallen into sin, and they can't seem to get up. Verse 3 says in Joshua chapter 8, and so Joshua arose. And all the people of war to go against Ai, and the rest of the chapter speaks of the victory the Israelites claimed over Ai. Notice Joshua chapter 8, verse 26. For Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. The title of my message this morning is Never give up. Never give up. Proverbs 24, verse 16, the Bible says, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. You know, the true test of the character of a person is not how many times he falls, but how many times he keeps getting up again. And I was thinking about my studies in Romans, and in Romans chapter 6, there are three words in Romans chapter 6 that I use as an outline to outline the chapter. And the words are no. Does anybody know what they are?
And yield.
No, reckon, and yield. They're great truths. Each one of those three words teach a great truth. Turn with me to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 6. Turn with me to the book of Romans. You can tell I've been thinking about Romans. I've been preaching on Romans in Papua New Guinea for 2 weeks. And in Romans chapter 6, I want you to notice the verse 3. Notice the word, know you not. Notice verse 6, knowing this. Notice verse 9, knowing that. See those, the word know there in those three verses? Verse 3, verse 6 and verse 9, you see the word know. Here it is here on the board. Romans, or right here, Romans. And I've been used to over in Papua New Guinea, I was using their big whiteboard. And I really want to get a good, solid whiteboard. I think it's a good tool when I'm preaching, a good tool of learning. All right, Romans chapter 6. And in my notes is the three-point outline of no, reckon and yield. Now, God is using this word no because he wants you and I to know something. Okay? And this is what he wants me to know. This is what he wants you to know. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, for some Christians in their lives, they have sin in their lives, and it doesn't mean that they're not saved, but they just can't seem to get the victory and get on top of their sins. And many people are like that. They just never seem to get the victory and get on top of it. And God says in Romans chapter 6, I want you to know something. I want you to know this, that the body of sin in Jesus Christ has been destroyed. The vehicle that is used to sin in this world, in this life, this body, the power of sin has been broken. That's what God is saying in Romans chapter 6. The power of sin that once had power over me, and before I was saved, I just did what my body told me to do. You know the philosophy of the world today? If it feels good, man, just do it. Just go for it. You owe it to yourself. And that's how people live. But when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within us, and the power that sin once had over us now is broken. And God says, I want you to know that. I want you to get an understanding of that. You don't have to, from now on, you don't have to be a servant to sin like you once were. The power that sin once had over me is broken. Romans 8 verse 13, please. Romans 8 13. I want you to look at it. Young people, I want you to turn in your Bibles and be looking at it. Look at Romans 8, 13. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You know what the word mortify means? It means to put to death. The deeds of the body. And notice what it says. If ye through the Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, chapters 4 and 5 of the book of Romans are about justification, salvation. Chapters 6 to 8 are about sanctification, the amazing, transforming power of the Holy Spirit in your and my life. I spent hours on this in Papua New Guinea. Chapters 4 and 5 of Romans, justification, getting our salvation settled. And I said to those guys in Papua New Guinea, and many in the class probably not saved, but there to learn the Bible. And I said to them, if you don't deal with this in chapters 4 and 5 of Romans, it's no good getting to chapters 6 to 8 regarding sanctification, the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, changing our lives, because you won't have him dwelling within you to help you. You're doing it all in your own strength and in your own energy. And I say the same to that here at Oasis Baptist Church. If you haven't dealt with justification, faith in Jesus Christ, being declared righteous, and got the matter of salvation settled, and trying to live the Christian life, in the power of the Holy Spirit, chapters 6 to 8, you'll never do it. You'll fall flat on your face every time. You see? There can be no sanctification unless there's been justification. And so we're in chapter 6, and God says, I want you to know something. I want you to know that your body now, in Christ, is dead to sin. You don't have to sin any longer. Okay? You don't have to sin any longer. Notice verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. There is therefore now no condemnation. No, that's chapter 8. Chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What shall we say then? Now that we're justified, now that we're saved in Jesus Christ, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we continue in sin when the shackles and the power of sin has been broken in our lives? And God says, I want you to know this. Now that you're saved, you don't have to serve sin any longer. You don't have to be a servant to it, like you once were before you were saved. And you just succumbed to the temptation and you just did what your body told you to do. Now that you're saved, you don't have to do that. But I'll say this. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have no divine power. No divine power to help you. It's all in the energy of the flesh. Alright, let me say that. Now, the next thing God says to us, and I'm getting to a point that I've reasoned why I never give up the title of my message. I want you to know this. You don't have to be a servant to sin any longer. You don't have to succumb to the temptations that are in your life any longer. There is a power that is available to you through the power of the Holy Spirit to help you. And I want you to reckon on this. You know what the word reckon is? And I think it's found in verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. Look at it with me, please. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what the word reckon is? It's the word logizomai. Logizomai, and it means to take it into account. In other words, God says, I want you to know something, that you don't have to be a servant to sin any longer. And I want you to sit down and I want you to take this truth into account. And I want you to think about this. And then he says the word yield. The word yield is in verse 13. Romans 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members. The word members is the word melos. And it actually speaks of body parts, but it's a word that is used to describe the flesh. Okay? Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. Now, before I was saved, I just yielded the instruments of my body, the members, the malos, as instruments of sin. I mean, this body is an instrument of sin. That's where sin operates through. All right, now before I was saved, I just yielded my body to sin and do whatever my body told me to do. But now that I'm saved, I don't have to yield my body to that sin anymore, because there's a power that's living within me that gives me the strength to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Okay? God says that you and I who are in Christ, you don't have to yield to our flesh anymore to that temptation. And God says, I want you to know this. I want you to know this in the Word of God. For those of us who are in Christ, the power of sin in our lives has been broken. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The power of being connected with the first Adam has been broken. You know, the first Adam? For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. The power with that connection with the first Adam has been broken. In the last Adam, Christ. The power has been broken. All right. Well, that's all well and good, Pastor. It's really good to know that. You know, that I can have the victory in my Christian life, but last week, I just lost it. I really messed up. Now, I'm not saying about me, but it could have been me. You know, last week I something happened and I got angry and I got in the flesh and I just lost it. I blew my testimony and I just really just made a mess of things. Last week I blatantly lied to my mum and dad. Told them a straight out lie. Last week I saw something. I saw a Babylonian-ish garment, a wedge of gold and some silver, and nobody was looking, and I took it. I stole something. Last week I got angry at somebody and I swore at them. Or last week I struggled to trust in the Lord like I should have. Well, I want to say to you this morning, never give up. Never give up. There's a victory to be had in Jesus Christ. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and riseth up again. And if you fell last week, get up again. So many Christians fall and they say, oh, it's too hard and I just can't do it and I'm just not going to go to church and I'm going to stop reading my Bible and I'm going to stop praying. It's just too hard. Well, I want to say to you this morning, don't be like that. Never give up. Never give up. Consider these verses with me. Romans 8:13. Think about this. Consider these verses. We live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You can live the Christian life. If you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you don't have the Spirit dwelling within you. Life will be a struggle. Life is a struggle anyway. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, you are able to have the victory. Look at Romans 15, verse 13. These are verses regarding the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is the best verse in the Bible. Look at Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, joy and peace, we often say, is an attitude of the heart. But it's also a divine empowering of the Holy Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Where does it come from? Comes from the Holy Spirit. You and I can have joy and peace in a troubled world, irrespective of what's going on around us, irrespective of what's going on in your and my life, through the divine power of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Yes, it does. For the believer. Not for the unsaved man, for the believer. Struggled last week. Week before, month ago, get up again. Get up again. Never give up. A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. What's the power for? To overcome the fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. These are tremendous verses in the Bible for you to memorize. Romans 8:13. Romans 15:13. Is it? Romans 15:13. Yes? And 2 Timothy 1:7. All right, what about these verses? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, says the Apostle Paul. I can, yes, be 3 days and 3 nights in the deep, forsaken by my own countrymen, beaten 3 times by the Jews, and all the burden of all the churches are upon me, and yet he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What about Matthew 8:11-28? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are having a hard time and having a struggle and going through difficult, dark waters in your life. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What about 1 Corinthians 15:57? But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. What about Romans 8:37? For we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says, for those of us who are in Christ, you and I can have the victory over our sin, our fears, our troubles, our doubts. We can have the victory. Never give up. Never give up. I say to people who have given up and lost hope and lost the plot, I say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to sit at home the rest of your life and be bitter and angry and out of the will of God and out of sorts with God? Who wants to live like that? Get up and get back to doing by faith what you know you should be doing. Sometimes it's good to have a strategy plan. Sometimes there's just something in your life, I just can't seem to get the victory over it, I'm struggling with it, I just can't seem to get the victory. Something in your life that's holding you back. Good to have a strategy plan. Now I know these, I've preached on this, no reckon and yield, the power of sin is broken. I want you to take this into account. I want you to yield yourself, yield your body as an instrument of righteousness. And we understand all that, Pastor. But sometimes it's good to have a strategy plan. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua devised a plan. Let's go there. Joshua chapter 8, and I'll have a break. Have a drink of water. Joshua chapter 8, I'm in Romans. Let's go to Joshua chapter 8, verse 3. Notice what it says there. Joshua 8 verse 3. Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. What's the difference here now? Anybody see the difference? Didn't send 2,000 or 3,000, he said 30,000. Okay? Now, we're not going to read through the chapter, but Joshua, if you can read it yourself, but Joshua said, and he organized most of the men to go around the back of the city of Ai. Some on the sides, some on this side, and hide in the mountains. Some round the back. And Joshua said, I'll take about 5,000 guys, and we'll come across and we'll stand in the valley before the city. And we'll come in like this and we'll pretend we're ready to attack the city. In open for everyone to see. And the men of Ai, they're looking down and they're going, look at Joshua's coming, he's coming to attack us. And look, he's only got that many men. We reckon we can defeat them. Come on, let's go. And so the men of the city of Ai all come out, and they come out against Joshua. And when Joshua and his men see the men coming, they run the other way. And then, when nobody in the city now. All the men hiding on the sides and round the back come into the city, destroy the city and burn the city. And all the fellows of Ai, the men of Joshua's men go, what's going on back there? And the men of Ai are looking and they're going, oh, our city's been burnt up, we're in trouble. And then all the men who destroyed the city, they start attacking the men of Ai. Joshua and his men squash them all in the middle and 12,000 of them are killed. And they defeat the city. They had a plan. It was a good plan. And the plan worked. You know, sometimes if you're struggling with something, you just can't seem to get the victory over it. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've sought the Lord, and still you can't seem to get the victory. Something that's causing you grief and hindering your relationship with the Lord, it's good to come up with a plan. If your TV or your computer or your mobile phone is a stumbling block to you and causing you some problems in your life and is a hindrance to you, come up with a plan. Do something. Nothing is more important in this world and in this life than your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing's more important than that. If you're a born-again believer, nothing is more important than your relationship with Christ. And if something is causing you a problem, causing you to struggle, is a hindrance to your Christian life, then come up with a plan to deal with it. Struggling with some sin of addiction, make yourself accountable to somebody. Make a commitment and make yourself accountable to somebody and stick with that commitment and say to this person, look, I've got this problem with gambling. And I want to be accountable to somebody. I don't want to do it. It's frustrating me and I don't want to do it. Got this problem with smoking. And I've given up stacks of times and I want to make myself accountable to somebody. That you would be there to make me accountable. That I'll stick with my commitment that I've made before the Lord. Find somebody that you can trust. You can confide in. And say, I've made this commitment to the Lord. I'm struggling with this thing. And I want to make myself accountable to you. Will you help me? Will you pray for me? I really want to get the victory in this area. That's not a bad thing to do. Okay? Have a plan. And let me say this. If you have a plan and the plan fails, get up again. Get up again. Don't give up. Never give up. There's a victory to be won in the Lord Jesus Christ. A just man falls 7 times. Proverbs 24 verse 16. It's a good verse in the Bible. A just man falls 7 times and he riseth up again. If you fall down, don't stay down. Don't stay down. Get up again. Get up again. Be back in church next Sunday. Come under the sound of the Word of God. Never give up.